Dear friends in Jesus Christ, even though all people have similarities, there are some huge differences. Let's consider some of them now. First of all, with people who are repentant ones, people where God has worked by His Spirit through His Word to make them sorry for their sins and to give them the gift of faith by which they are trusting in Jesus. What can we say about such people? Their sins are forgiven. They are righteous in God's sight. They are the very children of God, and they are heaven bound. Those are great things, and I hope that every one of us are in that category. But not everyone in the world is in that category. Think about the other group here. What about the unrepentant? They are still in their sins. They are unrighteous in the sight of God. They are children of the devil, and they are hell bound. Sometimes we tend to look at things in the middle. We're like, we don't see black and white, but we see kind of a gray area in the middle, and we lump everybody there. Maybe that is what we actually see, but God wants us to know we are actually in one place or the other. We are with God or we are against God. There is nothing in between. That's how the Bible teaches. We are either children of God or we are children of the devil. So God wants us to understand that is the reality of the matter, even if we don't see it quite that way on a regular basis. What I want to do today is to share a number of Bible verses with you. I want to read them, explain them very briefly, and I think you're going to see how God is calling for a separation between us and the sinful world in which we live. So think about that as I proceed here. In this first section, we can see that the Lord instructed the descendants of Jacob, that is, the descendants of Israel, in so many ways, but here are some examples. In Leviticus chapter 19, it says, "Do not turn to the spirit of a dead person or seek out people who possess the spirits of dead people, for you will be corrupted by them." God wants us to avoid all such things. What about in Deuteronomy chapter 7? "Do not bring the image of a false god into your house, or you, like that image, will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor and detest such an image, for it is set apart for destruction." God wants us to hear what He is saying. He wants us to take heed to what He is saying. What about with Deuteronomy chapter 18, picking up in verse 9? We have Moses here speaking to the people. They've been wandering in the wilderness for about 39 and a half years. Now, Moses will soon die, and then Joshua will lead them into the promised land. This is what Moses communicated. Well, let me put it this way. This is what God communicated to the people through Moses. "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who makes decisions by casting lots apart from God, or causing something to make an appearance, interprets demonic signs, engages in demonic magic, or casts demonic curses, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is offensive to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you." In other words, what Moses is saying there, he is saying the people who are currently in the land, those things that have just been mentioned, those are things that those people are doing. Now he's going to drive them out of the land, and he's going to give the land to the descendants of Israel. But what is really Moses saying here? He is saying, be so careful that you don't become like them, because if you do, I will drive you out of the land. And then the text goes on, you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination, but as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. Remember how different we are from what I said at the beginning of this message. God wants us to remember the huge difference, and then he wants us to show that difference in our lives. Going on to the second part here, we come to the sad consequences of disobedience. First of all, in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we come to a reference here to King Manasseh. Keep in mind, King Manasseh, he is the son of King Hezekiah. And you might recall how the Lord had told Hezekiah, get your life in order, you're going to die. And then Hezekiah asked God to extend his life, and God heard him. God did it, and it was during that time that he had the son Manasseh. Manasseh became the king after Hezekiah, who was a great and godly king. Manasseh was one of the most wicked kings of all. Such a sad situation. Notice what it says about him. King Manasseh sacrificed his sons in the fire in the valley of Ben Hinnom, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. God wants us to understand what Manasseh did, and then he wants us to do the opposite. What about in Hosea chapter 4? It very simply says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. As we are gathered here today, God is giving us great knowledge from his holy word, but he wants us to be wise in using that knowledge. Now, for all of us, we have learned like so many things over the years in our lives, maybe in a classroom situation, maybe from experience, but what is so critical, though, all the knowledge we have taken in, we have an opportunity now to be wise or to be foolish. If we take the knowledge God has given us and we use it in a proper way, we use it in a God-pleasing way, then we are exercising wisdom. But if we take the knowledge, especially the knowledge of God, and then we ignore it, then we are proceeding as fools. We want to avoid that category. And then notice here in Micah chapter 5, I, the Lord, will destroy your witchcraft, and you will no longer cast spells. I will destroy your carved images and your sacred stones from among you. You will no longer bow down to the work of your hands. Those are words from the Lord at a time where the people had slipped so far away that rather than worshiping the true God, here they are worshiping images made out of stone or out of metal and thinking somehow that is their God. What foolishness. Now we would say, oh, we would never be so foolish, but we're a little more sophisticated though here in our time, and we have our own false gods too. Maybe not an image of stone or wood, but we have to be careful about having anything that is before our great God. And then in the final part today, instructions for followers of Jesus. So here we are. God has worked in our lives. We have Jesus. We have forgiveness. We have blessings now and forever. What is God saying to people like us? First of all, in Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Remember, we are different. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is that statement we hear sometimes? As Christians, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We don't belong to the world. We belong to God. We are his holy children, but oh, here we are stuck in this fallen world. What does God want us to do? Does he want us to participate in the deeds of darkness? No, instead, he calls us to be salt and light. He calls us to make a positive, spiritual, eternal difference in the world, not to be like the world. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, now this passage is a little bit different. It is getting at the topic of the Lord's Supper, but back at that time, people were sacrificing animals, and they were sacrificing them to false gods, and then the meat was being sold in the market, and Paul was trying to get at that topic. But still, though, I think it's a good thing to put that into the mix of all these passages. Consider what Paul wrote here. The sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Let's put it this way. Let us stay in our lane, remembering who we are as the holy children of God. Let us stay in our lane and show that in what we say and in what we do. And then here in 2 Corinthians 6, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? God has made us his very own through Jesus, so let us show to whom we belong as we go through our lives living in agreement with God's holy word. And then here in Galatians 5, we come to a list of things that come from our sinful nature. And yet, do we fall into sin sometimes? We do. Should things like this be a part of our lives? They should not. Notice what it says here at the end of this passage. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, outrageous sexual behavior, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions and envy, drunkenness, excessive feasting, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm afraid we live in a world today where there are many so-called Christians who are characterized by many of the things on that list. What God is saying to us, he is saying it doesn't work that way. If you are in Christ, yes, do we fall into sin sometimes? Unfortunately, we do. But our lives should not be characterized by any of the things in that list. And if they are, what is God saying to us? God is saying, repent. Repent now before it is too late. And then going on to Philippians 4. So this is a very positive passage. It is saying, hey, don't be part of the world, but rather fill your hearts and minds with all that is good and pleasing to God. If they're filled to the top with all that is good, can any bad stuff get in there? Well, in a way it can't, because it's already full. Paul wrote, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, test everything, hold on to the good, and avoid every kind of evil. How do we test everything? Well, we are maybe looking online, or we are reading the newspaper or watching TV or we're talking to a friend. So we're taking in all these different things on this side. And then on the other side, we have God's holy word. So we take this thing here that we heard or read, and we compare it with the Bible. We take this thing here, we compare it with the Bible. God is saying, whatever agrees with his word, hang on to that. And whatever disagrees with his word, get away from that. He wants us to see that clear distinction. We don't test on how we think or how we feel. We always have to test on the word of God. That is critical. And then coming to James chapter 1, the first word here is religion. And religion can be a word that is sometimes misused in the world today, or it can be confusing. But in the situation here, it's really talking about external observances. So think about it like that. So it says, external observances that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. It's so typical for any of us to say, it's going to be okay to compromise a little bit. Here we are, okay, I'm a Christian, but everybody sins, so it's okay to compromise, it's okay to sin. That is the wrong attitude. God wants us to think about what he said to the woman who was caught in adultery. He told her, go and sin no more. Can we actually do that? We can't. But at the same time, should that be the attitude of our heart? It should be. And then finally, the last passage here in the sermon, we're in James chapter 4, verse 4. You unfaithful people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Think about that. It's a very strong passage. So oftentimes, we as believers are kind of mixing with the world. We're becoming friends with the world. Think about how strongly that is speaking against that. So when we participate in such things, we are befriending the world. When we befriend the world, boy, think about becoming an enemy of God. We certainly don't want to be in that category, so let's be so careful about befriending the world. Thank you for listening to all these passages at this time. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, our Maker and Redeemer, we pray that you would so work in our hearts and lives by your Spirit, through your Word, that you would make us sorry for all of our sins, that you would fully forgive us and help us to know we are forgiven. Help us to rejoice in your forgiveness, and then help us to go forward that we would honor you in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.